Well, good morning. It is good to be with you. This is my first time in the Commons in 2017, and so I'm glad to be back with y'all. And pray for our student ministry, our youth ministry, as there were van loads heading off for a spiritual growth retreat. We pray for them, for their safety, and for great decisions to be made during that time. It's also MLK weekend, Martin Luther King. We give thanks for all of those voices that sound for freedom, for civil rights, for races around the world and ethnic groups, for people of different color of skin, that we would somehow be reconciled to one another. That's really what heaven's going to be like, you know, that people from every tribe, every nation will bow down, glorify God, and we'll be hand in hand together. And so we celebrate that in small this weekend, that that's a vision of Scripture. Well, we're in a series entitled Fresh Start, and I pray that's been the case for you in 2017. And last week, Haynes talked about facing forward and the importance of us as a church and individually moving forward, leaving our regrets behind, leaving our sin because of the forgiveness of Christ that's offered to us, and facing, having a posture that is futuristic, that has about it an optimism in our faith. And so today I want us to ask the question, how is your thinking? How is your mind set? How do you set your mind? In other words, and I think it's an important question for us as followers of Jesus, when you evaluate a person or a circumstance or a group of people, how do you frame that? How do you set that in the boundaries of your mind? And then how do you frame that for others? How do you portray that for others? In this series, one of the things I want us to look at is the importance of having the mind of Christ, and we're going to talk about that. But part of that has to do with decision-making, and we want to give you an opportunity to be a part of something very, very special. The last Sunday of this month, the 29th of January, we're going to have our regular services, and at the end of the 11 o'clock services, here in the Contemporary Service, in our historic sanctuary, we'll have a service. We'll exit just a little early. We'll go to the youth wing, and there we're going to have a special baptism service. And there are individuals in our church and a part of our community of faith that want to give their lives to Christ, and it may be a first-time kind of thing for them. And so if that's the case for you, we'd love for you to talk to us about that. We'd love to share with you the salvation story that is offered in Jesus Christ. And we're going to baptize by immersion. We have a baptismal pool that will be in the youth wing. We'll baptize by sprinkling. In other words, we'll have you stand by that baptismal pool, and we'll kind of let the water wash over you. And then we'll do one other one. And that is pouring. We'll have a pitcher, and if it's kind of hybrid between being immersed and sprinkled. And if we're going to pour over someone that would like to give their lives to Christ in a sacrament of baptism. It's going to be awesome. Now, you may have already been baptized. And it may be that as an infant, you were presented before the church, and you were baptized. You were presented by your parents, and the church baptized you as an infant, or maybe in confirmation. You were baptized, and you weren't baptized as an infant, but when you went through the course, you said, hey, that's something I want for me. Or maybe as an adult, you were baptized as a part of another denomination or this denomination. We want you to know we recognize all baptisms, and we want to give you the opportunity to remember that baptism, to hearken back to that, to relive into that, and to celebrate that. And so there are some that may want to give their lives to Christ in that first step, a first work of God's grace. It may be that you say, you know, Tim, I want that perfecting grace to continue in my life. I want the Holy Spirit to work, and I want to make a statement publicly that that's the case, and so I'd like to remember my baptism. But really, for all of us, we should participate, if nothing else, to be present for those others. And so what we're going to do is have that time together, and we'd love for you to be a witness to those that make that decision, to celebrate and cheer them on. And so I want to encourage you to mark that Sunday as a special Sunday. And then we're going to have a potluck supper right after that. And so it's going to be like going to the river and then eating on the grounds. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of that and to really pray about that opportunity. Let's pray together. God, we want to thank you for how good you are to us. And we want to thank you for new beginnings. You're not a God that is static, but you're always on the move. And you're always moving in our lives. And so, God, we want to seize the opportunity over these next couple of weeks to get caught up in the momentum of your Holy Spirit, to live into what you're doing in this church and what you can do in our lives. And we want to have a posture of openness and receptivity to what you would do through us. And so give us a fresh start. This is our prayer. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. All right, so how do you frame what comes to you? How do you think about what occurs in your life? What is your mental disposition? I don't know about you, but for me, I find it is so easy to get caught in the negativity. Why is it that a failure sticks in our mind far more than a word of encouragement or a compliment? Why is it that we fixate on critical comments more than the positive? Well, I think we can all say that when we do that, it diminishes our joy that is based in our faith, and it creates in us some stinking thinking. I believe that there is something, a part of our fallenness, almost like a gravitational pull that's part of our nature, that pulls us to the dark side perspective, that can oftentimes hold us down in seeing that which is wrong instead of that which is right about a circumstance or a person. You know, the proverbial, well, the glass is either framed half full or it's framed half empty. We have an engineer in the church that said, no, Tim, the problem is the glass is not big enough. Whatever the issue, how do you frame it and how do you lay it out? And I would suggest to you that there is a pull toward the negative that is part of our broken nature. Let me explain. There was a study done among those that were having an outpatient surgery, and they had the physician consultation weeks in advance. And they were informed in that consultation that this surgery had a 70% success rate. And so when they left the consultation, they were encouraged. In fact, the day of the surgery, there was almost a sense of contentment or peace or it's going to be okay feeling going into that surgery. And then in the consultation, there was another study group weeks in advance before the outpatient surgery, and they shared with them that there was a 30% failure rate. And there was a spirit of discouragement among them. And so they tried to reverse that mentality and thinking. They went to that same study group that had been told that there was a 30% failure rate and said, look at it this way. Think about it as a 70% success rate. They could never get there. They could never feel good about the surgery and the results because they had early on locked onto the negative. We tend to do that, don't we? We tend to see the dark side. I think about the husband and wife that are talking about their finances, and the husband says, is there going to be enough? Are we going to be able to pay the bills that we have in the future? Are we going to be able to make it? And she says, you know, I don't know, but I think this is the most we've ever had in savings. It's a lot of perspective that we bring. And you know, there are symptoms to this stinking thinking, this getting locked into negative thinking. And one is a psychobabble word called catastrophizing. We visualize or we ruminate on things that may never happen. We borrow trouble from tomorrow. And so it's kind of like the father was telling me about his daughter that called from college. And she said, Daddy, if I don't pass this test, then I won't pass the class. And if I don't pass the class, then I won't get my degree. And if I don't get my degree, well, I won't get a job. And if I don't get a job, well, who's going to want to marry me? And if I don't get married, how am I going to have children? And he goes, whoa, let's go back to the test. There's a sense in which we connect dots that aren't even there. And so a symptom of this negative thinking is we think the worst has to happen. Another symptom is we allow voices to live rent-free in our mind. We allow negative voices and mottos to reside in our soul. Some of these are externally imposed on us. Maybe somebody said, you're a failure, and you've lived with that motto. Maybe somebody said, I despise the day you were born, and you've had to hold that to you. Or maybe somebody said, if there's a wrong way to do it, you'll find it every time, and you've lived into that. Some of these can be internally motivated, or an internal reality of a voice that we've conjured up. Based on our pull towards the negative, we've heard voices that are maybe self-imposed, and we allow them to live rent-free and to destroy and to discourage. It's kind of like a friend of mine in the church. He's not a behavioral scientist, but he is a very spiritual man, and he said, you know, it's Tim, it's like a stream of consciousness. And in your stream of consciousness, if you could envision a literal stream, and you have a vessel that is moving down that stream, and voices are calling out, you're a loser. You're not going to make it. It's all going wrong. You really screwed up this time. You might as well give up. And then there's another vessel that says, God's grace is sufficient. And voices from this other vessel are saying, God is a God of second chances. He's still doing a work in you. There is hope. Which one will you listen to? And so we catastrophize, or we allow voices to take up residence in our hearts and minds. And there can even develop a paranoia that they're somehow out to get us. And this is what Paul talks about in Philippians. He speaks to fear, and he says, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, by request, let your request be known to God. And get this, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That peace will stand as a garrison in the midst of the negative thinking. And then he goes on and he deals with some things in terms of thought life and temptation. But I really believe that there's something antidotal here. There's something helpful in verses 8 and 9 of Philippians 4. It's in your bulletin. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then he goes on to say, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. One of my confessions is this week I have not thought admirably. I have not thought about certain individuals nobly. I have not always this week thought of things in an excellent way. And I've had to come clean with that. So much of our actions and our attitude is tied to our thinking. And Paul says, think on these higher things. You're called to a higher level. Rise above it. So I just want to share with you a couple of things that I think could be helpful fresh start exercises in 2017. Not physical exercises, but mental exercises. And one is serve notice. Evict those wrong thoughts from your mind. Send them packing. It is time for them to go. And it's time for you to lay claims to that which is right in your life. Centrally, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the things that are associated with Him being the center of your life. Allow Him to let you focus on truth, on love, on being a peacemaker. Secondly, be grateful. Here's a chance for you to be a lot more fun to live with. Who wants to be around a negative person? I want to be around someone that is grateful, that is able to count their blessings and name them. Statistics show that people are 25% happier when they are able to testify and name the things that they're thankful for. Finding the right over the wrong. And then asking God to give you the mind of Christ. And what is the mind of Christ? Well, it is pure, and it is holy, and it is positive, and it is one of the future. And all of the things that he mentions earlier about what is right and pure and lovely and admirable, all those are qualities related to God. God, allow us to see things as you see them. Help us to frame things as you frame them. I love that story from the Old Testament of Elisha the prophet and how Elisha and their encampment were surrounded by enemies. And there was a servant, and it's recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6, the servant says, Elisha, I know you're a prophet, and I know you're a man that seeks after God, but we are going to be smashed. We're going to be destroyed. We're going to be overtaken. And all he could see were the warring forces of regions around him. And Elisha said this. He prayed out loud. He said, Lord, help my servant to see. Lord, open his eyes. In essence, what he was saying was, help him to see as you see. And in that moment, the servant opened his eyes and he saw angelic hosts in all of his peripheral vision. And he makes this exclamation, there are more with us than against us. And so our prayer today is that we would see in 2017 the way God sees. The way God sees circumstances, with hope. The way God sees people that may or may not be like us, with love and compassion. That we see the possibilities. That we will understand that sometimes when we face trials, it's really a victory. Because God offers hope. God is still sovereign. And God is still in control. And for me, that's enough right, enough positive to hold on to. I'm going to invite Fran to come up, and I want us to pray together. Let's pray.